Welcome to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and this is a program heard most Fridays here on MSONewsSports.com. Won't be heard next Friday. We'll be off next Friday. What's your problem?
I'm not in.
Okay, well.
All right, okay.
There you go. All right, so, anyway, big doings in Gloucester this week. The Ward 1 race was whittled down from 3 to 2, and the mayoral race was whittled down from 3 to 2.
Yes, the primaries are upon us and are through us, and we've had primaries in some of the other cities as well. Peabody and Salem have preliminary elections as well. So,
all right, what do we got lined up for today?
Beth Gerard is a candidate for Ward 6 City Council, candidate for re-election in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Goodick is a candidate, first-time candidate for election in Ward 4, Gloucester. Brian LaPierre is a candidate for a councillor at large in Lynn, and Hong Net is a councillor at large for re-election in Lynn as well.
All right, wow, all right. A lot coming up. We invite you to stay tuned. We'll be right back with these interviews and more on MSONewsSports.com. This is Trending Live with Josh Arnold.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. And our first guest is Beth Gerard, who is an incumbent Ward 6 city councilor in Salem. Beth, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Josh.
So we start out with most of our guests. Tell us about yourself, your background, prior public or private sector, appointed or elected positions.
So I grew up on the North Shore. I grew up in Revere and Marblehead, and my husband and I have lived in Salem for the last 10 years, and we've owned our house on Larchmont Road in Salem for the past 7 years. Let's see, I got my bachelor's from UMass Amherst, and I've been in healthcare since about 2000. I got my master's in health policy and management from the Heller School at Brandeis in 2002, and prior to finishing school, I was invited to come and work at NYU Langone Medical Center, working in nursing, which I'm not a nurse, interestingly enough, on my project, were focused in nursing. So got invited to go work in New York and got to live there for a couple of years. And in 2005, we returned to the North Shore and we chose Salem to live in. My prior appointed or earned work in the city and the state, I used to work for the state. I was working jointly as a clinical policy analyst as well as manager of clinical and quality analytics for both UMass Medical School and MassHealth. I did that until about 2010 when MassHealth was moving their office to Quincy, and the commute from Quincy to Salem is just a little too much. So then I was given an opportunity to do research for a couple of physicians who are appointed to Harvard Medical School and the School of Public Health. Their research is focused in racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare. And where this was a work-from-home opportunity, I also decided that I wanted to get more involved with the community. You know, Salem is such a fantastic, fantastic city to live in that I was volunteering more, and I was also really curious about how the city would run. Back when my husband and I were living in New York, I read The Death and Life of Great American Cities by Jane Jacobs, which I highly recommend. And, you know, it talks about how cities work, how they don't work. And so here we were living in Salem, and I'm walking around, and I'm wondering and driving around, like, how does the city work? What functions? What doesn't work? How to make it better? And I actually did an informational interview with the director of planning and just to ask her about what do you need to do to be a city planner. And then at the end of that meeting, she invited me to become the reporting clerk for the planning board, which, you know, I think taking minutes for a meeting can be kind of monotonous, but the planning board in Salem was the most exciting experience. So here I was sitting here taking these minutes for and learning about who were the main players, who's involved in terms of, like, the administration, the attorney to represent the applicants, the activists in the community, the planning board members, everybody's history in the community, how do things get done? And I think that experience for 3 years, that just hooked me, and I fell even more in love with the city and decided that I wanted to be able to use my background in analytics and, you know, my undergrad degree is in anthropology, so using that background, and I've always come from a volunteer-focused family, and using all of that to make more well-informed decisions about how the city is run and make sure it continues to succeed. And so in 2003, I took the plunge, and I decided to make a run for city council, and I won. And it's just been a fantastic first term, and that's why I'm hoping to be sent back to the council for a second term.
That's great. Now, you do a lot as a Ward 6, as a ward counselor. You have to vote on all the issues, but a piece of that is constituent services. I know that, you know, from city to city, it's kind of the same thing. If there's a pothole or if the, you know, the plow didn't make it up a particular street or the catch basin's full or, you know, any number of things, the limb is down, they call the ward counselor. And they may call the counselor at large, but the counselor at large will refer to you anyway, in your area. But part of your role has been advocating for funding for projects in your precinct or your ward. Can you share with us some of the things that you've been an advocate for and that have, you know, come to fruition, that things have happened, you know, during your term of office?
Oh, sure. There's actually been a lot. I'm very excited that when I added it up recently and I'm looking at how much that, what I can say, like what dollars have I gotten to come into specifically to Ward 6, I can probably say that over $500,000 I've been able to advocate for it just in my first term. So the projects like that, so for example, with the paving now, every year, every city gets what's called the Chapter 90 monies that come from the state, and, you know, each city gets a certain share, and so this past November when the mayor's office and the city engineer said, okay, ward counselors, give me your list of streets, and then talking to people driving around the ward, walking around the ward, I gave them my list, and they said, okay, excuse me, all of you are about 800% over budget, what is your priority? And I said, okay, well, I think, you know, Orange Street is right near me and near my neighborhood here, and it's used so heavily. It's heavily, heavily trafficked. In fact, on a side note, I did a traffic study on a street off of Orange Street, and what the traffic study showed was just on that one particular street over the course of a week, almost 3,000 cars drove up and down that street. And so Orange Street ended up getting even more than that. And then they said, okay, well, you know, there's Orange Street, and, you know, we really need better crosswalks there. We need better sidewalk improvements there because, you know, we have also an elementary school that's right in this neighborhood as well, and these kids are starting to walk to school more, and we want to encourage them to walk to school. So we need better crossings for them. And I'm happy to say that through my advocacy, the mayor's office agreed to give us over $200,000 for repaving and redoing a whole new sidewalk on one side of the street and providing ADA-compliant ramps at each corner and the new striping that's going to be coming in shortly. And that was almost $50,000 more than the next award. Other things that, you know, again, in talking with constituents, that exactly what you said, that this is all, so much of this is constituent services. I mean, being a city councilor, you're part of the legislative body. So in the council itself, that I almost, like the council meetings, I almost see those, that's more housekeeping because there's, you know, we meet twice a month. So much goes on behind the scenes to get to those meetings. And so what, you know, all of that really is for a ward councilor especially is constituent services. So then when other constituents of mine that live over by Nat Park said, hey, you know, we really would like to walk to this big, beautiful, gorgeous park that we have here, and the two entrances are not safe for us to cross. Both the streets, both Grove Street and Tremont Street, are heavily trafficked, and the cars just don't slow down. So what I did was I talked with the mayor, I talked with the city engineer, the director of municipal operations, the finance director, and I said, okay, what can we do? We need better crossing for folks to get in there. We want to get people off the street because, you know, we have so much traffic in Salem. So what can we do? And they said, okay, well, you know, how about if we do, we'll do crosswalks, again, the ADA-compliant ramps. We'll do solar-powered lighting for the pedestrian crossings. And then it was, well, then the question was, well, how are we going to pay for this? And so I begged all of those people. I said, please put this in the capital improvement plan, because once something is in the capital improvement plan, then it's there. It's just a matter of getting it in. And it's got, once it's there, then it's got to be done. And so I was successful in getting that in there. We also have the Community Preservation Act here in Salem. And so in advocating for Community Preservation Act funds to come to this ward, I had another constituent that contacted me and said, hey, I live by McGlue Park, which is this great little park that's right off of North Street. You can only see, like, the driveway from North Street, but it's a great neighborhood park. This is actually a park that, you know who Jack Welch is, who was former head of GE. He grew up playing there all the long time Salemites remember playing there as kids, and they all the pit. And, you know, it's been neglected for far too long. And so through working with the planning department, working with our department, that I was able to get $79,000 worth of CPA funds that are going to redo our park. I'm trying to think of anything.
We have a few more questions we want to ask you, so we'll move on from there.
Oh,
that's good. should Salem be looking to expand the tax base by bringing in more business and industry, and what are some of the measures that might be contemplated to do so?
I think if we're looking, when we're looking to bring in more businesses, bringing in more industry, how to develop these undeveloped areas, I think we have to do it very intelligently, that we have to really think through how it's going to impact our infrastructure, how it's going to impact the traffic. And so that's something I think that it's something that we're always, always looking at.
Okay. Social media is changing the methodologies deployed by folks seeking elective office. Can you give some examples of things that you've done or plan to do with social media as part of your campaign?
Oh, sure. So it's kind of a funny story that I originally was not on Facebook. I thought Facebook was terrible, and I never wanted anything to do with Facebook. And so when I decided to run for city council, people who were politically in the know, they said, you know what, you really have to get on Facebook. And so then once I got on Facebook, it was a great way to really reach out to a much larger constituency. And so I have a very active Facebook site. I have a Twitter handle as well. And you know, because there's opportunities to speak with people in person, to speak with them on the phone, to speak with them at neighborhood meetings. But I think that social media, you know, we're, for better or for worse, we're all on our computers all the time. So if there's a way to connect to people that I wasn't able to get to in any other forum, then this is the way to do it. And, you know, I announce events on there. I have all sorts of neighborhood updates, regularly have neighborhood updates or I should say ward updates whenever there's something going on, especially with all the construction that's happening here right now. We have a lot of work being done on North Street. We have, as I mentioned, the Orange Street project. We have the Grove Street project as well. Any way that I can get out the message to my constituents and just let them know what's going on.
Well, it's interesting because Bob, I was watching a sports show not within the past week or so, and Bob Neumeier said, you're talking about people who go to the ball game and said, you know, if you watch through the camera, and I've made this observation myself, you look at them, everybody, there's so many people in the stands are on their phones. They're reading their messages. Okay. They're taking a picture of themselves, you know, wherever they are in the park or whatever's happening, and then blasting that up. So the whole dynamics of how people get and send information has changed in the last 5 years, and it seems to be accelerating. So, you know, I think it's interesting just to get a sense of how it's crept into the political arena and the constituent service arena and so forth. We actually are running out of time. We have to move on to the next guest, but I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and we look forward to chatting with you another time, and we wish you well in the upcoming election.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks, Beth.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. And our guest is a classmate of mine from high school, Catherine Goodick, who is a candidate for Ward 4 City Council. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about you, your family, your education, your background, and then get into why you're seeking public office at this time.
Great. Well, as you know, I was born and raised in Gloucester. I'm one of six children. My mom, Grace Ventimiglia, my father's Rosario Perino. I went to Gloucester schools. I graduated class of 76 with you, as you mentioned. I've always been somewhat of a late bloomer, and so I didn't take the traditional road when I got out of high school. I actually went right to work instead of college. And so everything with me has kind of been a little bit of, you know, different road. But the School of Hard Knocks, I've learned a lot. I've been married to my husband, Doug, for 23 years. I have two children. I had my children later in life, so I have a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old. I've worked full-time the whole time I've been raising my children, albeit going to school in the evenings at Salem State University, and I'm happy to say I graduated with my bachelor's degree in business administration in 2010.
Great.
So following up on that, my daughter is now at Salem State University, which is great, and my son Adam is a sophomore at the Gloucester High School.
Great. Now, you throw your hat into the ring for Ward 4. Tell us about that, and why did you jump into political office at this time?
Yeah, well, you know what? I've kind of always been watching from the sidelines, and I've always voted and always been really concerned about the city that I love. And I think I got really disheartened when the elected officials that we voted into office, I don't think really have had our best interest at heart. And why I say that is in January when we all got our tax bills, and they were incredibly high. Mine went up 17%. And I understand everything goes up. But my income, like many others in Gloucester, hasn't gone up 17%. So I kind of went to City Hall to try to ask the questions. And what I found was incredibly upsetting, that they don't want to give you any answers. And so with that said, I was looking for some transparency. How did it go up? Why did it go up? Asking questions, real hard. Not hard questions, but what everybody was asking, you know, why is it going up and what happened? So when we did that and our voices weren't heard, I was really, really disheartened. And so I, with a couple of gravitated to one another because we have like minds, we formed the Gloucester Citizens for Responsible Government. And we did a lot of digging into the budgets and all of that. And what we really concluded was, or what I actually concluded was, I could keep writing letters to the editor, but it's getting me nowhere but frustrated. And the only way to make change is actually to be on that side of the fence. So I wanted to throw my hat in the ring and try to make a difference for citizens of Gloucester like myself and others.
Great. What do you think are some of the real issues in the campaign for office this year for city council?
Yeah, so what I really see is transparency. I think that's key. Fiscal responsibility, because it goes not only just to the wards but to the whole city. The budgets in the schools, I've been very vocal about that as well. And I know with your background, you could really appreciate some of where that's coming from. And also what's really important is trying to attract some new businesses to Gloucester. And we have to make it easier for that.
Great. You mentioned cost structure and escalated costs. One of the questions we've been asking folks up and down the North Shore is, talk a little bit about the regional Volk Tech School. If you send your child to Gloucester High School, the per pupil cost is roughly $13,000 and change per child. If however you send your child to the regional Volk Tech School, the cost per child is $23,500 and up, seeming a large disparity. What can a city council do to try to get the regional school to rein in those costs?
Well, I think that we really have to. I think the cost actually for Gloucester High School students is much higher than the 13, but we'll give the exact number. But the city council can only control the Gloucester school that we have here. And I think that there's some runaway spending here that we should clean house at our own places and look at. You know, and we also have a vocational school at the high school for the carpentry, electrical, and others that we should be promoting more, because it's a great opportunity here for local kids without going to the regional school. So I would like to really explore that end of it and look at the costs that we have that we can control.
Do you think city councils, I mean, city council has to approve a regional vocational budget. Do you think city councilors should be entitled to get, say, a line item budget from the region? Should they be given access to monthly expenditures? And would you favor a management audit of the school?
Well, as I said to you originally, Josh, I'm really interested in the transparencies and fiscal responsibility. So an audit really just does show that you're being responsible. There's nothing to hide. Why does it cost $23,000, you know, to send a kid to school? It doesn't make any sense. But I know that Melissa Teixeira, who's on the school committee, is also on the Volk. I believe she's the president of that. So she's on that. And, when I'm on as a ward counselor, I look forward to working together with her in a positive way to really peel back and see where the expenses are and why they're so high.
Great. Well, what is your take on what should happen with the Fuller School property?
Well, I've been pretty vocal about that. I'm really disappointed that it is out for an RFP, and I did talk about that. I'm disappointed that the school committee and previous administrations have allowed that to really get run down, because I think now the cost is probably really high to fix that. But
oh, it is. It absolutely is. I mean, there was a point when I was involved in school administration, and that was More than 15 years ago in
right.
Gloucester, and that was one of the best schools we had. So for it to infrastructure-wise, the Archdiocese bought it, and they did not spare expenses building it. It was,
a
well-built school, and Bill Fondier, who is a candidate for re-election in Ward 5, spoke about the auditorium there. Father Frank Tosti designed that. It was one of the priests that taught there when it was the old St. Peter's High School. And it's such a shame that the Cape Ann Symphony had to move to Manchester because the mold was so bad in that auditorium, you couldn't breathe if you sat in the audience. So, many of us are disappointed in that as well.
And I went to school there, and it was a great school.
So did I.
What I liked about it is this great light there and all of that. But with that said, they've already put it out for an RFP.
What do you think's going to become of that? This talk that this is all set in stage, that this could be the next YMCA, that would, any sense of that, or mixed use, this other talk, why don't we move some of the City Hall people, City Hall offices up there, because, hey, we're already paying rent places. Any sense of, do you have a particular, you have to wait for the RFP process to play out, but do you have a preference on what you might like to see there?
I do, but listen, you tipped off on what one of my concerns is. We're spending so much money renting space in this city. It's ridiculous. We put, close to $1 million into the St. Ian School to fix it up for West Parish. Now we're renting $168,000 a year to rent St. Ian School. That's not even our property. $250,000 to move the school administration out of the Fuller School and up to the old medical center in Pond Road and et cetera, et cetera. There's so much waste in that. Why couldn't we have used that school to consolidate everything, consolidate all the resources? City Hall, if you want to go do anything, you have to go from one building to another building, which could be even across town. So what do I want to see there? If we're going to put anything there and you can't have it back at the school and they're bent on really selling that property, which I really don't want them to do, but if we do, because we need the revenue, then they need to put something in there that's revenue generating. And I don't believe in nothing against the YMCA, but nothing against YMCA at all, but I don't really think that's revenue generating for us.
Okay. How is social
that's going to bring some money in.
How has social media impacted local campaigns, or what ways, if any, have you used social media as a campaign tactic or strategy, and how important is social media for getting one's message to the public for communicating with the electorate?
I have to say, it's a whole new world, isn't it, from when we were growing up. But social media, I think, is so important right now. I think that's where I've gained an awful lot of traction in my campaign. I'm out there. I'm trying to be very positive. And it's a way of connecting with people. I have teenage kids, so you really have to be savvy about it. So I had to get involved. And so I'm a lot more up, I think, on some other candidates on social media. It can be negative, so I won't say that it hasn't been, but I have relatives that are shut-ins, and so in order for them to know what's going on in the city, it's been great to be able to put things out on social media where we are, what we're doing, for folks that can't get out of their home. Another great example, and I have to give kudos to the current mayor, she's been very successful in using social media on Facebook to alert residents of important issues. The road's been repaired, or there's been a water main break. I know when I'm a ward counselor, I'm going to do the same thing because I think that's important to communicate, and it's a great, fast way to get to everybody.
Great. What there's a issue in Ward 1 that's before the council about increasing the amount of parking on Atlantic Road for access to the beaches. That may come up prior. It may be resolved before your election is done. But were you to weigh in on that, do you think that's a good approach?
I think that I've had an opportunity to speak to many people who live on Atlantic Road, and I do understand the concerns about the parking there. And I think that it's more than just parking there to go to the beaches. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be resolved before we all get on the council. But if not, then when I'm the council, I'll certainly talk with the Ward 1 councilor to see what we can do to remedy that situation, because that is an interesting one as far as where to park down there.
If you had to look at over the last 25 years and pick two of the mayors that you thought did a really good job, maybe the best job, maybe a really good job, can you tell us who they are and why you picked them?
Well, I think that's an interesting question because as I thought back, there's been obviously lots and lots of mayors here, and they've all done good jobs, you know, have done some great things and some not so great things, and so I don't always agree with everybody. But if I have to look at, you know, who I would say I resonate the most with, I have to go way back, in the way back machine, to Mayor Dick Silver. He was mayor in 84 to 88, and he dedicated his life to public service. He did great, wonderful things. And he was a man of honesty and integrity, and he cared an awful lot for the citizens, and I admire that. And if I can tell you one quick story about him, when he was running for public office, my mom, as I said earlier, had six kids, and him and his wife called to see if my mom was going to go out to vote. And she said, I'm stuck in the house with no car and six children. He said, I'm going to bring my wife down. She'll babysit the kids, and I will take you to the voting polls. Somebody like that who really resonates with the citizens, and he cared an awful lot to make sure everybody could do what they needed to do, get out and vote, and like I said, brought his wife over to babysit us kids. I thought that was hysterical.
You know, that was actually something
that, who got things done.
That was actually something that you used to see more and more of. I don't think you see it so much now, but when Nate Ross was mayor, I was his youth coordinator, and one of the things we did is we called people up. Would you like a ride to the polls? And
exactly.
It was, you know, there used to be, you know, people would publish an ad, you know, if you need a ride to the polls, here's the number to call, we'll send a car to pick you up. I don't know that happens anymore, but it used to happen a lot.
It did, and that, and you know what, and here it is some, like, oh gosh, probably 50 years later, because I think this was when he was going to be a state rep. I mean, that just resonated with me about, you know, his caring and compassion for the city. Everyone had a choice to vote.
The other thing he did that I thought was neat was he wrote he sent a letter out, the $2 letter. Now, this is 30, 40 years ago. And he said, you know, I don't want big money. I just want a lot of people to give me a little bit. And
right.
Most people would give him $5, $10, $25. But that letter used to pretty much finance all of his campaigns. He'd get tons of money in for asking for a couple bucks. So, whatever.
Right.
Anyway, there is some traditional things, and that the thing evolves. We have to move on to our next guest. Thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and we wish you well in your upcoming election.
Thank you. See you in November.
See you,
Josh.
Care.
Thank you, everybody.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our guest is Brian LaPierre, who is a candidate for City Council at Large in Lynn. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we ask each guest that we have to start out. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, career, family, education, and then why you chosen to run for office at this time.
Sure, Josh. I'd be happy to. You know, I'm a first-time candidate running citywide here in Lynn. I've had a lifetime commitment of making our city here in Lynn a better place. You know, I was born and raised here in Lynn. I'm the son of a longtime school secretary at the Hood School, Caroline LaPierre, and a son of a Vietnam veteran, my father, Peter. They've spent their whole lives here in Lynn. I taught for many years in the Lynn Public Schools, 13 years, both at the Thurgood Marshall Middle School and English High School. That's where I met my wife, Kelly, who's also an educator. And her mom was a longtime teacher at Eastern, now Marshall, 39 years, Donna Curtin, along with Jim Curtin, who's a letter carrier, retired letter carrier in Lynn. So Lynn means everything to me, Josh. You know, I've spent my life working here to make it a better place. I was a Little League president around my neighborhood at age 19, spent my years teaching. I was in the neighborhood revitalizing Kylie Park. I'm running now for Counselor at Large because I want to usher in a new era of leadership. I want to bring our city to new heights. I believe that we can build a city safe and so I want to thrive, students grow, part of the, you know, as I did, focus on listening.
Tell them we're going to call on another line.
We right. Need to call you on another line. You're breaking up on us.
We'll take a break. We'll call you right back.
A landline. Maybe that's better.
Okay. You got Josh. All right. We're going to take a break. Josh will get your number if it's a different one. Hold on. You need a different number?
Let me just see if I've got it.
Let's just switch. It might be on our end. Let me just switch lines. You got a different number for that?
No, I don't have the.
All right, we'll call you right back. You got to dial one now.
Okay.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Andruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and forgive the interruption. We had some technical difficulties. We got probably all about your last 30 seconds, Brian. So, again, we go through the introduction. What are some of the significant issues that people face today in the city of Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, that's really critical. You have my bio, and why I'm running is important. You know, it's to really bring the city of Lynn to new heights. I mean, I think we need to build a city that's safe and accessible and very inclusive. We're a city of neighborhoods where our families, students, and businesses can grow and learn and thrive from one another. You know, I've spent so much time going door to door and listening and learning from residents and across the whole city. It's a huge city, as you know. You're well aware of over 90,000 folks in Lynn, and trying to respond to their needs and really listen and learn from what their needs are. It could be as little as a sidewalk crack or a tree that needs pruned or, you know, a house that's giving some trouble in the neighborhood that everyone knows about, and having the police come and do something to improve the quality of life in a given neighborhood. That's why I'm running, to be that person that helps and reaches out to all residents, from lifelong Lynners to ones that just maybe moved here, new Lynners, and try and advance the city, whether they're going to school here or raising a family or starting a business. That's what our campaign's all about. That's been my focus, is the neighborhoods. And those are some of the issues that are going around here, is quality of life, responding back to people, and offering a high level of constituent service that the city has not seen in many years.
Great. Now, there's a ballot question in Lynn to proposes to levy a tax on income over $1 million, which would then be used for boosting support to education and transportation. You have an opinion about that and how you think that's going to go?
Absolutely. You know, being an educator and now through my work that I'm doing statewide, we're part of that Raise Up Massachusetts Coalition, the one that you're referring to. It's really a fair share tax initiative that's been put forth that will only affect around 18,000 millionaires who make income levels of over $1 million-plus. The first million is taxed at the regular income rate. It's an extra 4% that would be levied, as you say, on the million-plus that folks make. So an extra $40,000 per millionaire, per million, is not much to ask for when you're talking about what it would be able to do by way of expanding education, innovation, fixing roads and bridges. There are almost 5,000 across the Commonwealth that have been deemed in disrepair. So this is critical to adding $1.3 billion into and infusing that revenue into cities like Lynn, we're an urban city with a real old transportation system and our schools are in disrepair, at least the physical status of them. This will go a long way, Josh, to improving that way of life in Lynn and across the Commonwealth. So I'm very supportive of this fair share tax amendment.
Should Lynn be looking to expand its tax base by bringing in more business and industry? And what are some of the measures being contemplated to do that?
You mean to help businesses flourish in Lynn?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we've got one of the best waterfront properties across the Eastern Seaboard, and it's really been underdeveloped for my whole lifetime. So there has to be a laser focus on helping businesses that are here to maintain those businesses, but also we need to open up new businesses and expand the ones that are here. I'm going to work to bring a very diverse economic development. I'll work with Development Director Jim Cowdell on the waterfront and continue some of the progress that we've made in the Downtown Arts and Cultural District. That's in the Union Street corridor and off of Essex Street in downtown Lynn. And we've seen an uptick in restaurants and cultural performances and the like. You know, a positive business environment depends on having an educated workforce as well. And it means safe streets, the neighborhoods that are walkable and that are attractive to lure in potential business owners. So we need clean, accessible streets, sidewalks. I'll make sure these factors are built in so that businesses are able to come here, be welcomed here, and can flourish here in Lynn.
North Shore Community College is expanding its operations in Lynn, adding additional space to its college campus there. How does that look to impact what happens in Lynn?
Well, it's the reason why the expansion, and it's a multi-million-dollar one, I'm told, over $4 million is being invested right now to expand that campus, is because many of our students from the greater Lynn area are choosing a community college degree, a two-year program, and then moving on to a four-year institution. So it bodes well for that area in that Washington Street corridor onto the Lynnway and Broad Street. I think the expansion is one that, anytime we can improve and expand our educational quality, they are offering some good programming down there. There's a lot of good folks coming out of there. As I say, with two-year degrees, I have a person working in my campaign. His name is Sean Reed. Sean was a student at North Shore Community College. He has now gone on to have a full scholarship at Amherst College, out in Amherst, Massachusetts, and he's thriving from his Lynn education and post-education. So I think it's going to bring opportunity, jobs. There's also going to be down in the Gateway area, the Washington Street, Sagamore Street, a new housing development that's going to be adjacent to the college, and I'm looking forward to spearheading that on the city council and seeing that through. So when we couple education with affordable housing and some of the jobs and some of the business increases down there, we're going to see that area really start to bustle, Josh.
Great. We've got time for just a little bit more time left. How has social media impacted the political arena? How are you using it? Are you using it? And how does it help get the message across to the constituencies and the public at large?
Sure. We've done a tremendous job, I think, in my opinion, on places like Facebook and Twitter. And we have our website, of course. It's www.lapierrefor.lynn.com. I'm very accessible by cell phone. I'm one of the few candidates that put their cell phone on their literature. It's 617-974-1243. But people have found us on Facebook, have liked us. They certainly rely on some of the posts that we do on a daily or a weekly basis. It's really helped connect me with people. All through the storms last year, I was responding, even though not elected yet, concerns around snow removal and trying to get out to the neighborhoods and assist in the best way I could. And we've really, you know, in terms of friends and liking our page, it's almost 1,400 likes on our political page, and we're an active social media campaign, and I rely on my friends and my loyal supporters to put our messaging out, especially as it gets critically down the stretch to Tuesday, November 3rd. We're going to need all that social media impact that we can. So it's been a great tool for us.
We have about a minute and a half left. Any other issue that you think is hot in Lynn that you'd like to talk about in 90 seconds?
Well, sure. I mean, thank you again for this opportunity to be on MSO News Radio and Sports Radio. It's really been an honor, and I just want to make sure that folks know, obviously, the vote is Tuesday, November 3rd. There are six candidates running for four positions. We're number four on the ballot. The polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I think my closing message in the last minute here is about safe neighborhoods. It's about creating better neighborhoods, meeting the demands of constituent responses. Residents should be confident that when a call puts through to me or City Hall, that I respond promptly, that I work diligently, and make sure that City Hall is working for all Lynners. I'm the accessible candidate for Councilor at Large who's going to work tirelessly, make sure constituents are receiving the services they need from our city. I focused on listening and learning. That's the cornerstone of our campaign. I've had thousands of conversations with Lynn residents, and I want to make sure with my teaching background, it's prepared me to handle these kind of constituent issues. I spent my days in life in the classroom listening to students' concerns and finding out what's troubling them, and I work to develop solutions around that. I'm going to bring that same work style to City Hall, where I constantly listen to my constituents and understand their concerns and then act to solve their problems.
Great. What a thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and we wish you well and much success in your upcoming campaign. Take care, Brian.
Very much, Josh. It's been a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613. Stop in at 268 Rantoul Street or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our guest is Hong Net, who is a member of the City Council in Lynn and is seeking re-election as a councillor at large. Hong, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Josh, for having me on the program.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, background, education, and prior work in public or private sector, as well as appointed and elected positions.
Certainly. Well, Josh, I was born in Cambodia, and I have lived through the Cambodia's killing fields from 1975 to 1979. I was separated from my family at the age of seven, and lost some of my family members during that time, including my mother, my grandparents, and a brother. My father was also jailed for a crime that he never committed. When the Vietnamese army invaded Cambodia in 1979, I fled to Thailand and lived in a refugee camp on the Cambodian-Thai border. I came to the U.S. alone in October 1982, lived in South Hadley with my foster family, the Johnsons, so kind of them, they took me in. I went to UMass Amherst. I studied politics, and after graduation, I returned to Cambodia to work for a non-profit organization, and later worked for the UNDP, helping the government to rebuild a war-torn country with a system from the war. I came back to the U.S. in 1997 and met my wife, and we got married a few months later in 1998. And then we moved to Lynn together in 1998. And now we have two children. They are teenagers, one in classical high school and one in grade middle school. And before I got elected to the Lynn City Council, I worked with a human rights organization through the UN. I counseled gang and drug involved to teenagers in Lynn. I also taught ESL and immigration and citizenship to Southeast Asians in Lowell. And I have been working for the Massachusetts Department of Revenue for the last 18 years, so I'm still working with them right now.
Great. Now, you've been on the City Council for a bit, and tell us about some of the work that you've done as a member of the City Council.
Oh, thank you. Yes, for the last 4 years in the council, I have established a few things. Not me alone, with the help from my colleagues and also from the mayor and from my champion team, whoever get involved. But of course, I was the main of creating all this stuff. I created the Human Rights Commission in the city of Lynn for the first time, and I also organized a business forum to discuss about the low interest loans and free legal assistance to new business owners in Lynn and also who wish to open business in Lynn, and provide all information to them what we can have to improve our business in Lynn and also attract new business owners to invest in Lynn as well. I also brought a restaurant, R.F. O'Sullivan, to open in downtown Lynn. So you reach out for me, I got them work with the city hall to get the loan and everything done, and now they do very well. I brought all taxis companies in the city to make a deal and for everyone to have a fair share of taxi medallions, and it has been successfully done. I initiated a community meeting with DPW and the residents to address a new trash and recycling ordinance that we have passed. So that's why we're doing so well, and there's no more trash around, and also people start to recycle a lot because they start to understand, because I met with a few times with the resident and asked DPW people to come explain to them. And also I advocate to bring the state to look at the potential voting station in the Highlands, because people in Highlands want to have the voice there, because they feel that they have been ignored, but so they look at the place and they haven't found out when they can open a voting station there yet. I also organized a trip for the Lynn officials and business leaders to meet with local officials to share ideas and learn from each other regarding economics and cultural development because most cities are pretty much the same and we have very diverse cities and Lynn has come along and we want to know how they do it. And also Lynn has come along as well, so that's why we share ideas and what we can do because we want to be sister cities.
Great. What, should Lynn be looking to expand its tax base by bringing in more business and industry, and what actions are either in progress or being contemplated to do that?
Could you repeat? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you clearly enough.
In terms of expanding the tax base, are you in favor of bringing in more business and industry to Lynn to you know take the burden off the homeowner and you know what if what anything is being done on that so far?
Okay, good. I understand. Okay, yes. We have done that already. Actually, we provide low interest loans to many businesses in the city. We also have given tax incentives to restaurants such as R.F. O'Sullivan's, Rossetti's, Cattle Cuisine, and Dimitri's, just to name a few. So we have done that, and we would like to do what we can to attract more business to Lynn so that we can have more revenues to help the homeowners so we don't have to raise taxes. And the city council also created a committee to make it easy for business owners to borrow money from Lynn or to seek help from the city, and we have been doing that. And I see that people are starting to look to Lynn and come to our city and to ask for help, and we're excited about that and be a part of that as well.
How has social media impacted local politics, the election? Are you using social media, and is it just to campaign, or is it also to get your message across or to talk to the citizens?
Oh, yes, I use both, actually. I have friends who use social media, like Facebook, like Twitter, like email, and those are big now because they're fast, you know, and they're very effective as well and accurate as well. And the message goes within seconds, basically. So I use that a lot, and I like to communicate with friends through Facebook and Twitter and email particularly. And I use that for my campaign as well.
Do you find that it's easier for people to reach you or that you get more messages now from people because of social media?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Social media plays an important role, so it's easy for people to get the message across and also to understand more what you do and what you will do as long as you put up there and people read it.
Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold. We're just looking down, and we're running out of time, but we want to wish you well in the upcoming election, and maybe we'll have you back on again later to talk about how the election came out.
I would love that very much. Thank you so much, Josh, for the opportunity, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Hung.
Well, that was a fast hour.
Oh, it flew by, and a lot of interesting stories. I love hearing about where people came from and, you know, how they get into politics and what they want to do. And, you know, some things are the same from city to city and some things are different. But everybody's out there trying.
Amazing story with Councilor Nett, though. Wow.
Yeah.
To get and overcome all of that, and here he is working for others. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, really.
Really cool. Yeah, hopefully we can get him on at some point down the road as well. Okay, we'll be off next week. There will be no program next Friday, but we'll be back after that, and you have even more guests lined up.
Yeah, I have, I have Safathia Romeo taken as the guest, along with Brandy Carpenter, who is a candidate for school committee in Peabody, Estelle Rand from We're seeking Ward 2 in Beverly, and Domingo Dominguez, Counselor at Large in Salem. And beyond that, in future weeks, week 6 and 7, we'll have Joe Orlando, Everett Brown, and David Olson, the editor of the Gloucester Daily Times and Salem Evening News, will be our guest at 10:45 on October 30th.
Okay. Prior to Halloween, Salem, a little wild action up there. Down there, I should say. All right, again, we're off next Friday. We will not have a program next Friday, but we'll be back after that. And don't forget, two football games tonight. We'll have Gloucester at Revere. We'll be on Channel A, and I'm not sure whether we can do the video. Weather permitting, we'll have live streaming video, but, you know, high winds and horizontal rains are forecast. That would make it impossible for us to do the video game, but we will be doing the game. One way or the other, maybe both. And then on Channel B, it will be Beverly at Lynn English with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns. And don't forget, check out the website. Bill and I and been updating this thing on a daily basis. Next Trending Now with Josh Arnold, 2 weeks from today. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.